Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Round one of the draft is over. Now, let's take an in-depth look at what went down on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Willie P. Jarvis Davis here with you. Our coverage of the NFL draft brought to you by Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL season, as we continue to break down what happened. 32 picks in the books. Plenty more still to come. We'll have coverage tomorrow of the NFL draft with John and Hugh tomorrow morning from 5 until 10. Andy and Randy from 10 until 2. First round pick for the Falcons, AJ Terrell, will be on Dukes and Bell, which of course airs between 2 and 7 right here on your home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 99 The Game, and then John Chuckery will have your coverage of rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft tomorrow. I have to think that with the shortened round times, Jarvis, that tomorrow is going to be a little bit more of an expedient go of things rather than the 4-plus-hour marathon that we had tonight.
You know what? My whole thing is, like, what do you expect? This is the first round of the draft. This is the first live event, that sports event, you know, because – when you think about it, it's something that if you like to watch the NFL draft, you know what you expect. You know what to expect. Like, it didn't even seem like that long for me because, you know, me, I'm all into it. Like, let's go. This is the draft. Like, this is something that we look forward to, you know, ever since the season ended back in December, especially if you're a Falcons fan. So you always think about who the team's going to pick, the speculation, the trades, all that stuff is intriguing to me. I'm interested. I can't speak to that because I don't know what that feeling's like. I'm the type of guy that I love it.
It wasn't that I didn't love it, Jarvis, but like I made the proactive move today of clipping my fingernails because if I didn't do that, I would have chewed them all off to the nubs, man, because that was how nervous I was. I don't know if it was just because of the unique nature of this draft.
Right.
But okay. I don't remember being more nervous about what was going to happen, especially because we thought that Javon Kinlaw was going to fall to the Falcons and that was going to be their focus. But after hearing from the Falcons brain trust, and we now have our first comments from Thomas Dimitroff, Falcons general manager, he says that their focus all along was on the guy who ended up becoming the first pick from the Falcons at 16 overall, A.J. Terrell of Clemson.
Look, we went into this draft with a couple needs, and our main need was at corner, and we were very excited to have an opportunity to pick A.J. Terrell at 16. We hung tough, and we had entertained other opportunities to think about potentially moving up, but this is where we wanted to be. This is a player that we had targeted from the beginning of our draft preparations here. Very excited that he's on our team moving forward. He's going to be an important part of our defense.
Go ahead, Jarvis.
I wanted to say something really quick. When you just go back to the beginning of that clip, he said, look. He was like, hear me out right now. We know what we want to come to this draft.
He was ready.
Buster, right?
did he not sound like he knew that people's swords were going to be up, though? Did he not sound like that? He knew what he was doing. He knew the firestorm he was walking into.
Yeah, public perception is something that the Falcons are definitely aware of. I can definitely say that. You know what people are talking about. You know what people think you need. You know what people are speculating about. And then I kind of understand it because you're the professional. You're the guy that gets paid to evaluate players. You're the guy that gets paid to look at who, what your team needs are, and you have that relationship with Dan Quinn where you guys can collaborate on that and make those decisions. So I kind of understand it because it's kind of.
Yeah, it's it. I mean, you're right, and we were talking about this earlier off air about kind of, you know, making moves to satisfy public perception. You know, we talked about the report that was leaked by Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, or a report leaked to Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, I should say, about them making overtures to try and go up to number two to possibly take a flyer on whether or not they can get Chase Young. That, of course, did not come to pass, as Young does go to the Redskins at number two overall. The fact that, that was made abundantly clear, or at least floated out there, is something that I found interesting. This is Dan Quinn talking about the scouting department and GM Thomas Dimitroff on planning how round one would go.
And I thought he and you know, the scouting staff did an excellent job of really going through as many scenarios as you could imagine when you're into this space of where we're at with 16 up back. And so I thought you know, just the preparation side of things made you really feel confident heading into tonight. And so by this afternoon, it was, all right, let's get this thing cooking and get started.
That is Dan Quinn. And the other part that I think reigns true, Jarvis, is one thing that Dan Quinn said early on, and I can't remember if he said this when he talked with our guys on the air or if it was something in one of the Zoom calls, but he called this defensive line draft, particularly the interior tackle, one of the deepest drafts he's seen at that position in a long time. And so I think that he feels more than confident that they did not have to go and sacrifice their draft capital to go up and get a guy like Javon Kinlaw, because they feel they can adequately fill that need in the second, third round and beyond.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, you have confidence to be able to find guys outside of it. Because let's just face it, what, 50% of these guys, that's the numbers that, you know, end up being quote-unquote bust in the first round. So just because the guy gets drafted in the first round doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be ball players. So there are guys that you can find in the second round, second and third rounds coming up on later on today, and also on Saturday as well. So if you have that confidence yourself, like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know exactly where I'm going. I know I can get certain guys, because let's just be real. They understand. They talk to other general managers in the league. They got a pretty good idea of where those general managers may go. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons knew where the 49ers were going when they picked Javon Kinlaw. So, and they knew that, okay, y'all going Kinlaw, we're going to get our guy. We're going to get either the best player available on our board that feels a need, which is A.J. Terrell.
Here's Thomas Dimitroff with a scouting report on Terrell and the kind of player that they expect to get from Clemson.
He's a 6'1 guy who is a 4'4 flat guy with athleticism, agility, body control. His ability to get his hands on balls, we're excited about his natural ball skills. He's a smart guy, really squared away, full package for us, D-led, and I think that's a big thing for us. Seems like he fits in very well with Dan's system.
Again, he is a player out of Westlake High School and also a player out of a university that has become rather kind to the Atlanta Falcons. That, of course, is Clemson University. That's what Todd put on my Twitter at Willie P. Style. You can tweet Jarvis at JarvisD90 and the radio station at 929 The Game. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us. We're taking you all the way until 2 o'clock, so we'll continue to take your thoughts from now until then. Let's go to Brandon, who is in Marietta. And Brandon, you are on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Hey, appreciate you guys taking my call. I just wanted to get in on the whole A.J. Terrell topic and everything going on. I followed everything, you know, through the draft process, went through PFF and NBC Sports and stuff like that. And Chris Sims is a guy that I kind of respect his opinion about. He's generally pretty well-versed on players coming out and does a pretty good job making projections. He had Terrell as his second guy behind Henderson, even above Okuda. And that's just something that I think a lot of people should kind of take and, you know, respect that opinion from him. And then not only that, but you guys kind of alluded to it earlier, but the defensive tackle class is pretty deep. When you look at someone who's a space eater or something, and I think you need a one tech, not another three or five necessarily to play next to Grady, because Grady's that guy. That's why you paid him all that money. So go ahead, get some good, solid depth on the back end, because it's a passing league. Get a first rounder who can take care of the ball and, you know, be put on a receiver and go one-on-one or play a little, you know, a shallow zone or something. So I think it was a solid pick. I'm super excited about it, and I would highly suggest for any of the fan base, go on YouTube, check out some of the highlights and everything. He reads routes really, really well, makes adjustments to the ball. His hand-eye is awesome. So
appreciate it, Brandon. Very good thoughts. You know, I don't know about you, Jarvis, and maybe it's because all the people who are ticked off about the pick have already gone to bed, but I'm very surprised at how measured some of the calls have been just based off of the Twitter reaction. And I know the Twitter reaction is very largely exaggerated.
Come on now. I can't compare anything to Twitter, right?
I know. It's always largely exaggerated, and people freak out more than that than anything else. But I think we all felt the same way. And I think we're all prisoner of the moment, and you don't want to ever be judged by what you say in instant reaction. After thinking more and more about it, this is starting to make a lot more sense to me, even though in the moment I'm sitting there heartbroken you didn't get the guy to South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate because, like, we get locked in. It happens every year. Like, I would continue to say that the Falcons always go left when we thinking right, because it happens every year. When we get locked in on a guy, we're like, oh, yeah, the Falcons going to get this guy. It feels a need. They're going to jump up and get this defensive lineman, or they're going to get this guy.
How many freaking mock drafts had them taking Kalavon Chaisson? And if it wasn't right. Chaisson, then the Cowboys are going to get him right there. He lasted all the way to 20.
Right.
Like that one shocked me. I thought, man, they had that guy completely pegged wrong.
I'm going to roll the clock back a little bit. I'm going to take you back to 2014. 2014 is when Jake Matthews was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons.
He was actually on the other night. I was watching it.
Yes, the number six overall pick. I never forget this. I will tell my daughters about this when they're tired of hearing me telling them stories about old football stories. Like, I was sitting there with my homeboys. We're sitting there watching the draft. And Khalil Mack, I never forget that tape of Khalil Mack just wrecking shop against Ohio State. I'm talking about up and down the line, just beating everybody. Anybody you want to line up against them on Ohio State offensive line, he whooped them. And he whooped them again once they got back up. And there was a lot of rumors flying around that this dude may go 1, 2, 3, whatever. And then when he started to fall, it was 3, and then it was 4. And then my hands started sweating. I'm sitting here like, oh, my God, the Falcons are going to actually get a chance to draft this dude. Then you get to 4, then they don't pick him then. And then when you get to 5, and the Oakland Raiders are on the clock, and I remember looking at Roger Goodell's lips. As soon as I saw him formulate a K with his lips, I almost threw some at the dog on TV because I was so upset because I knew that the Falcons were going to pick Khalil Mack. And you know what? More than likely, they probably wouldn't have picked him either.
Exactly. Well, it's funny how you say that your blow-by-blow visceral reaction to that is exactly the way that I was reacting to the Kinlaw thing. Because, like, I'm sitting here, I'm watching this, and again, I mentioned this earlier, you know, I spent the better part covering, I saw every snap Javon Kinlaw played at South Carolina because I covered it covering football in the state of South Carolina. And by extension, I also did the same thing for A.J. Terrell. So I have a pretty good idea about what both of those players bring to the table. And it was not necessarily a disrespect to Terrell, but I kind of thought that Kinlaw brought very much what the Falcons needed when it comes to how they can address their needs and address their football team. But I'm sitting there and I'm texting back and forth with my people, and I'm sitting there, like I said, sweaty palms. My heart rate was through the roof. I was mainlining Diet Coke, sitting there watching the whole thing.
As long as you weren't doing the last dance like in Chicago Bulls when Mike walked into the room with those when he was a rookie. As long as you weren't doing those lines.
I wasn't those lines. But I'm saying, exactly the feeling you had thinking that you're going to get Khalil Mack is the feeling that
I had the exact same feeling.
The exact same feeling sitting there. I'm like, man, are they going to get Javon Kinlaw? Is it going to get Javon Kinlaw? Oh, my God. And it wasn't. But again,
yeah, man,
that's not to say you should be upset with AJ Terrell, because it's not like they went out and like drafted CeeDee Lamb, you know? Not that CeeDee Lamb's a bad player, but
at least they got somebody on defense,
we don't need that,
man.
What's the one thing we said? It said, I would take any defensive player that fits a need. And that's what they did. So I have to be happy with that. We'll go through what else happened in the opening round, including a shock. And a quarterback who might have the clock ticking on him based on the actions of one franchise tonight. Willie P, Jarvis Davis, I still want to hear from you as well. 404-741-0929. That's Salton Brothers Diamond text line and the phone lines. We are coming to you from the Mobile Kia Studios on our 2020 draft coverage brought to you by Twin Peaks, your home of the NFL 2020 season on Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com, and the radio.com app.
Round one of the NFL draft is in the books, and Will and Jarvis have all the details on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, hopefully we can get him ready to play quickly, and he'll be an outside corner first. That's where he's got the most experience and where he's really thrived. So that's where we'll start him, outside first, and we'll hope to get situated and get started with him just as soon as all that's permissible.
That is Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, on where they expect A.J. Terrell to line up. Their first-round selection, number 16 overall from Clemson. And I think that kind of jives, Jarvis, where you and I kind of thought he might fit in on the corner that goes opposite Isaiah Oliver. I feel kind of bad for Kendall Sheffield, because I think many thought that after Trufant left, that could have been an opportunity for him to step into the other outside corner role. But he played very admirably in the slot corner position when they had to shift DeMonte KZ back to safety, which is where he'll be for the upcoming season. So I think, if anything, you now have a shored up secondary. And the one thing that we knew going into the offseason, when you looked at the way the Falcons cap scenario played out, is that Desmond Trufant was not long for this football team because the cap number. You needed to get younger, Reed cheaper at that position, and Terrell being picked at 16 does exactly that for you.
Yeah, I think that him playing on the outside, I don't think that's any earth-shattering news because when you think about it, the nickel position, man, that is almost just as important as on the outside, and when you have a guy that can play both in Kendall Sheffield, I don't think that's necessarily a letdown. I think it's a bonus. I think it's a plus because it speaks to the athletic ability to be able to play on the outside, because at that nickel position, man, wide receivers have a two-way go. They can go either way, and you can get embarrassed in that slot, man. So to have a guy like Kendall Sheffield to be able to step in and say, okay, he can play on the outside as well as the inside. And Dan Quinn believes in Kendall Sheffield. I don't think it's a knock on Sheffield, because he said early on in this week, earlier that he feels that Sheffield is a number one corner. So I don't think that Sheffield has to anything too much to worry about. He's going to be on the field. He's going to be starting. It's just a matter of whether it's on the inside or the outside. My concern comes in is Isaiah Oliver. Is Isaiah Oliver going to be that starter? Is he going to be able to step up and say, okay, I'm going to force the Falcons to put Sheffield down in that nickel?
Yeah, it's true. And that's the part of it that I look at from the Falcons standpoint. And I think it's probably one of the most interesting things that we'll look at come the fall is how that all plays out. And you have to think about the viability of, what can Keanu Neal give you, and how does he split time with both KZ and Ricardo Allen. Like that, that's going to be a real sticking point. And you know, when it comes to me, Jarvis, there might be somebody, there might be some hurt feelings in that secondary because of the fact that you have, I don't want to say a surplus, but you have a crowded room now, it seems.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting that you say it, but like I said, we know who's going to be a difference. We know exactly what number is going to be at the free safety position. And he used to be a guy that Dan Quinn trusted on a very high level, and Ricardo Allen. Ricardo Allen was literally his coach out on the field. I never forget Rico Allen going down into the box and lining people up and making sure guys are where they're supposed to be and talking all the way up to the ball snapper and getting back in a position to be able to be where he's supposed to be once the from a coverage standpoint. So I really believe that it's going to be Ricardo Allen. I believe that it's going to be Keanu Neal in that strong safety position. I think that it depends on where his health is. And Rico is a guy who's getting up there in age, and he's limited from a playmaking standpoint and from an athletic standpoint. So, but we all know what Keanu Neal is bringing to the table when he's healthy. So, yeah, I think there are going to have to be some decisions made. And like you say, some guys may be a little butt hurt about those decisions, but they're going to have to deal with it because I don't think Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov, those guys don't have time for hurt feelings. Those guys are trying to continue to keep their jobs, and they're trying to compete, man, to try to get back into the playoffs and make a run.
We'll get you more here from Thomas Dimitrov in just a second, but I want to go back to something that, A.J. Terrell said on the conference call here a little earlier when he was talking with the Falcons reporters. And I do want to at least recognize our colleague Joe Patrick. He's doing a fantastic job behind the scenes making sure that we have these brought to the air. This is A.J. Terrell on how much it will help him getting the immediate work in practice against both Julio Jones and Matt Ryan.
Gonna be great. Definitely looking forward to the opportunity. I'm ready for it. You know, just coming in to compete. You know, just give them my best, and I know they're gonna give me there. So you know, just come in, competing, not being satisfied. Just like I said, gain my respect, and just be great teammates, and you know, just go win games.
Here's another thing that I just thought of too, Jarvis. How much does the improved play of the secondary in the last 8 weeks of the 2019 season, how much of that do you think factored into the decision-making here by the Falcons? Because I think they obviously did not feel happy with the way it played with the first 8 games, and the fact that after Raheem Morris took over and you weren't seeing guys running around like chickens with their heads cut off and people running all over the place out of position and things of that nature, the fact that they looked a lot more organized on the back end, I think reinforced the fact that they needed to fortify that unit.
Yeah, I think part of it is better play, but I think another part of it is getting pressure on the quarterback. When you have the opposing quarterback under siege, I want to say under siege, that's a strong word.
Under duress.
You have under duress, yes, that's a better word to use. When you have a quarterback worried about at least concerned about that pass rush, I think that's going to help the secondary. Like, secondary and defensive line are always going to be married to each other, whether they like each other or not, whether they fuss about who gets paid more money or who should get paid more money or who needs who more. They're always going to come back to, hey, we both need each other, so let's make it work. And that's how the defensive line and cornerbacks are. They're always going to be joint at the hip, because you need one to work in order for the other one to look good too. And you saw in the second half of the season, once they started to get a little bit more pressure up front, and you have a guy like Raheem Morris, who I don't think he's going to be around here too long. The Falcons defense is successful this year. I am one who is going to pump my fist for Raheem to get another shot at being the head coach, because this
I kind of agree, because I think he got some run during this offseason too, a little bit, or should have gotten some more run, I would say. And because of that, I think that, you know, and because of the way that, I don't want to say he was miscast, but one of the things that I found very perplexing is that, you know, he was always kind of looked at as a defensive mastermind, and he spent his time on the offensive side of the football here in Atlanta, at least the last couple of years. And because of that, I was always kind of mystified by that. And the fact that they got him back on his more natural side of the football, I think you're better able to showcase what he can do as far as an instructor and a tactician.
Yeah, man. Like, the guy's a teacher. He doesn't stick with one specific position. He can go down to the defensive line and say, hey, you need to be working on this, you need to do this. Or he can go to the linebackers and say, hey, when you're in this coverage or when you're getting into your drop, you need to do this, or you need to get more depth in the drop. And then he can run over to the corner and say, hey, man, I need you to get back in that third or else, you know. And then run out to the preseason and say, hey, when that cornerback is not getting his drop, I need you to keep that eye on that cornerback and that guy runs that post. So it's just a lot of things that he can just jump around, like, okay. And a lot of times versatility can be a negative sometimes too, because, and I don't necessarily think this applies to Raheem Morris, but you gotta be watchful of it, because you're like, okay, if he could teach D linemen, linebackers, corners, safeties. Shoot, he can teach a wide receiver too, you know, and I think that, I don't think that Dan Quinn, you know, just haphazardly put him over there. I think he put him over on the offensive side of football because he thought he could do the job. And from what we saw, he was able to get the job done. And he knew that once it was time for him to come back to defense, Dan Quinn went ahead and made that move.
Certainly so. Before we in our final segment, I think we'll look at kind of more what we expect the Falcons to do tomorrow. I want to look in our remaining couple minutes here in this segment, Jarvis, with kind of the full first round now in front of us. What would you say is your biggest surprise pick of the first round?
I would have to go ahead. I would have to say it has to be the Jordan Love pick, man. I did not see that one coming. I did not see Jordan Love going to the Green Bay Packers of all. Like, as vocal as Aaron Rodgers has been, you know, throughout his time or throughout his tenure with the Green Bay Packers and basically getting Mike McCarthy fired as a head coach, I think that Aaron Rodgers – may see the writing on the wall, and he may respond in that manner. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting a little bit more tested than he already is, because when you draft a guy in the first round like you did in Jordan Love, man, that's a, hey, we're drafting your replacement. And right. I don't care what quarterback you are. I don't care how great of a guy you are. The Falcons, if those rumors were true about the Falcons looking at a quarterback, say for instance, they would have took Jacob Eason at 16. You don't think Matt Ryan would have felt some type of way about that? And Matt Ryan is the greatest guy ever. He's never said anything rough in any feathers ever as a Falcon quarterback. I know, because I've been around long enough and been in those press conferences and to hear him speak. Like, that hurts. That is going to hurt, and I'm interested to see how Aaron responds to them drafting his replacement.
My surprise would have to be Kinlaw going to San Francisco, just because I don't want to answer the same as you. I would have answered Jordan Love, but I let you have the privilege there. Real quick, uh-huh. who went earlier than you expected, and who went later than you expected?
I mean, I think Kinlaw went. I think Kinlaw was a guy. I give it a couple guys. I think Kinlaw went later than I expected. I thought he would have. I thought Derrick Brown would have been off the board at 7 for the Carolina Panthers, and I think that being that Derrick Brown would have been off the board based off of what I was thinking, they would have taken a look at Javon Kinlaw right there at seven. So I was genuinely shocked that he dropped that far. You talking about a guy that went from that was a guy that was being projected to be in the top 10, and he drops all the way down to 14. Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant, man. That's a big difference when you talk about the signing bonuses and that contract structure. So yeah, I would have to go with Kinlaw. What about you?
Just based on his relative positioning to the other people at his position, I'm genuinely shocked that the first wide receiver off the board went at 12 and it was Henry Ruggs. But I'm not shocked based on the organization that took him, that being the Raiders, mm-hmm. because they've always taken players of that ilk. I thought Damon Arnette is a bit of a reach for the Las Vegas Raiders. I would have had Diggs or Christian Fulton ahead of Arnette, but he's somebody who goes to the Raiders. And as far as somebody who I think went late, I'm still shocked that DeAndre Swift is still on the board and that Clyde Edwards-Helaire went before he did. And it'll be very interesting to see how quickly he gets gobbled up when the second and third rounds begin tomorrow. As it stands right now, the Bengals are back on the clock. The Falcons' first selection of the second round, as it sits right now, is the 15th overall, or 15th in the second round, 47th overall. We'll give you our best guesses as to where they might be going with the two picks they have tomorrow when we return. Willie P, Jarvis Davis here with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As always, on the radio.com app, brought to you by Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL football season.
Our newest Falcons have been selected, and Will and Jarvis break it all down on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
No, that performance wouldn't have dissuaded us at all. I mean, he was in phase quite a bit. I mean, Burrow's obviously had a hell of a game, dropped the ball in a lot. There were a couple opportunities there, you know, that they really capitalized on. We look at the full picture, as you can imagine. He had a great, you know, very substantial game in the national championship, you know, the year before, Alabama game. A number of other games where he really, you know, stood out in our mind. So one game does not dissuade us.
So that is Thomas Dimitroff.
A smart person said that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Thomas Dimitroff basically quoting you, Jarvis Davis, right, alongside yours truly, Willie P, saying that one game does not make an NFL draft player's body of work. Final segment with the two of us as we kind of recap what we saw today. Some of the major highlights, of course, Joe Burrow going number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. Chase Young of Ohio State goes to the Redskins. Okuda of the Ohio State Buckeyes goes to Detroit. Andrew Thomas, the first Georgia player off the board. He, of course, goes to the New York Giants. The offensive tackle there also was the first lineman off the board. Tua Tagovailoa to Bama. Justin Herbert, Miami, rather. And then, of course, Justin Herbert, the former Oregon quarterback, goes to the Chargers. Inside our division, Derek Brown is a Carolina Panther, the former Auburn defensive tackle. Tristan Wirfs, the Tampa Bay offensive tackle now, of course, the former Iowa Hawkeye there. And New Orleans, their only pick in the round, also going O-line, former Michigan center Cesar Ruiz. In terms of tomorrow, the Falcons have pick number 47 overall, which is the 15th pick of the second round, and then the 14th pick of the third round, that is number 78 overall. They do have two fourth rounders and then a seventh rounder, so they might have a chance to use any one of those to possibly move their way to get an additional pick in the second and third rounds again. Rounds 2 and 3 are tomorrow. Rounds 4 through 7 happen on Saturday. We have coverage all weekend. John Chuckery is on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to give you full coverage of rounds 2 and 3. A.J. Terrell will be on with Dukes and Bell from 2 until 7 on Friday. Full coverage on Saturday of the draft with Andy and Randy doing a special show from 10 until 2, followed by John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas on following that. They will take you the whole rest of the way for the NFL draft on Saturday. Sam Crenshaw and Greg Clarkson will also be on Sunday morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then I will be back with Thomas Mott from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on your full coverage of the NFL Draft, brought to you by Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL football season. Here is Thomas Dimitroff talking about that number 47 pick that they will make as 15th best in the second round.
We'll look at every opportunity there at 47. It's a good place for us to be. We already mapped out a number of different positions that we were looking at. Of course, I won't get into the specifics of those. I don't want to tip our hand necessarily, which you could expect. But we feel like there's a really rich area there between, you know, the early part of the second round to 47. And we think we may have some really good opportunities there.
Thomas Dimitroff also volunteered that when they took Terrell tonight, they had three other players that they had circled on there, although Terrell, and again, this is something that they wouldn't have told you otherwise, depending on whoever the heck it was they took, but they kind of always had their mind set on Terrell, at least is what they said outwardly. What is your best guess, Jarvis, as to what direction they go in, at least at 47, if the pick still remains there?
You know what? After looking, listening to Thomas Dimitroff, I'm kind of on the train of them actually making that move up, because being aggressive in the second round, because he said there's a wealth of, there is a lot of players at a certain position, and he said at the beginning of the second round all the way up to where they're going to be picking in the second round. So that tells me that they might be on the move, man. I think they got a guy in mind that has some first round talent that maybe and that fell out of that first round, and maybe a guy that's up in the College Station, and I think that's a guy they may be taking a look at. So when you think about what he just said, it just makes me think that they might be on the move. I think they might be on the move. I don't think they're going to use both of those fourth round picks. I think they throw one of those fourth round picks at a team that may be looking to trade back and get their guy. And I think they pulled the trigger, man. I think they're going to pull the trigger on a guy that they felt like probably should have gone in. Would have gone in the first round. But being that so many corners were taken in the first round, some guys got pushed back into that second round. And I think they might be on the move.
You mentioned the man at a College Station. I'm guessing you're talking about Justin Madubuike, the defensive tackle at A&M. Possibly. That could be one that they look at and possibly look at it at that perspective. Again, I mentioned Jordan Elliott at defensive tackle. There are actually a boatload. There are a boatload of offensive guards at that level, Jarvis. There are guys who were tackles in college who project as guards who went in the draft today, but nobody who played offensive guard in college was taken in the opening round. That could be something that they might look at three if they, for example, don't go running back and not necessarily satisfy the other defensive need that they have, which is pass rush.
You know what? I think a guy like Lloyd Cushenberry, center out of LSU, I think he's a guy that can play that guard position. And then once Alex Mack bows out and go ahead and retires or the Falcons move on from him, because when you talk about the type of money that Alex Mack is getting, some can make a case. I can make a case that, hey, it might be time for him to move on.
Could be next year's Desmond Trufant.
Indeed, that's for sure. You know, so I think Cushenberry could be a guy where you can say, hey, I can fill two spots. I can fill that left guard spot. I can add another person to that competition. That three man competition already, and Jamon Brown and James Carpenter and Matt Gono. You can throw a fourth guy in there. Hey, y'all battle it out. Somebody get it. And then next year, you can slide on over to the center position then, and you can kind of move and keep it moving. So I think a guy like Cushenberry is a guy that they probably should take a look at, because you can never have too much protection for Matt Ryan. You know, coming off the type of season that the offensive line had last year and giving up sacks, man, that's unacceptable. Matt Ryan should be on his back that much. And
go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say that. And if he's a guy, if he's a guy you want to stick around for 3 or 4 more years, productive years, that is, you're gonna have to protect.
5 of the top 6 running backs remain. The only one that was taken in the opening round was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Still on the board, former Georgia running back DeAndre Swift, who many thought would be the first guy off the board. Also, Jonathan Taylor, the former Wisconsin running back, Cam Akers, the former Seminole, and J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State. Zach Moss of Utah is also sitting there, A.J. Dillon. How tempted are you, the Falcons, to take a day 2 running back?
Man, I'm all for, if that's the guy that you like, go get him. And if he falls to you, you definitely get him. But let's just say if Cam Akers falls to 47, the Falcons, 47 in that second round to the Falcons, you're gonna pass on the Cam Akers when you really don't know what you're gonna get out of Todd Gurley. I know the type of numbers he put up last year, but to expect him to come with those same numbers, given what's going on with his knee and being having that bone on bone. No ligaments, no cartilage in his knee. That's a big deal. The arthritic knee, that's a huge deal. So that's like pain management. How much pain can you deal with from Sunday in and Sunday out? Go ahead.
Well, also means they're gonna have to take on some dead cap, because that means someone needs to get cut, whether it's Ito. They'll have to take on some dead cap if they take on a guy, because there's no way you bring on a guy like Cam Akers or Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins and not expect him to be in somewhat of a rotation with Todd Gurley. And again, we don't know what to expect from Todd Gurley as far as a load management scenario, and also what to expect from him beyond the one-year contract. I think if the Falcons had their druthers, you get the kind of season out of Gurley like you expected from him in his years before he got hurt, and you almost hope that he overperforms that contract and almost gets to a point where the Falcons really can't pay for him. Because here's what's going to end up happening. One of two things can happen with Todd Gurley. He's either going to have the kind of season that is adequate, and maybe you sign him to another, you know, short-term, low-money deal, or he's going to completely go gangbusters, and you won't be able to afford to keep him. So it's not as if that there's any scenario, you know. It's not like Todd Gurley's going to take a hometown discount beyond this year. He's trying to outperform that and get another big deal to try and be the last one that he gets in his NFL career.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that one. Totally with you on that. I totally agree. But because when you look at it, what's already here, Ito Smith, I like Ito Smith out of the backfield. I like him catching the ball out of the backfield. But I still don't know what I'm going to get from him if I give him those pair touches when you're paired with somebody. If I pair him with Todd Gurley, is he going to be super productive? I don't know that. Kadri Allison, we got a chance to get a good look at him once the Falcons were like, hey, we got to take a look at these young guys and see what they can give us. We didn't see him to the second half of the season. So all of those factors come into play when you think about drafting a running back. Because the scenario you just gave with Todd Gurley, that tells me Todd Gurley might not be here next year, whether he does good or not. You know what I'm saying? Right. So if he doesn't do good, you know he's not coming back. But if he does good to great, shoot, there's no way the Falcons are going to be able to pay, invest that much money into a guy like that. So what's the backup plan? I think the backup plan is a guy that you know can carry the load, like a Jonathan Taylor or a Cam Akers. You can pair him off with a guy like Kadri Allison, and he can be those. They can complement each other. So, I think that you're thinking for right now, but you also got to be thinking at least to next year.
If you had to guess the two positions that they go in, and I'll give my answer to here as we sit here in our final moments, the two if it is only two picks, what two positions do the Falcons take tomorrow?
Wow. I would say running back and defensive end. I think they go running back and defensive end because I would prefer they go defensive end in the second round, just from and get somebody who had that first round talent that may need a little bit more development, and you can kind of, and he can be a good solid rotational guy and develop into a starter. And like, and just like I mentioned with the whole running back situation, I think that you need to be prepared for Todd Gurley not to be on the roster the following season. And you have and be able to pair him with either Kadri Allison or Eno Smith.
And one thing that Thomas Mitroff did address is that they are going to try and fortify either end of the line of scrimmage, and that being both the offensive and defensive tackles, in the comments he made earlier today to reporters following the first round of the draft. And I think that if I have to guess what they're going to do tomorrow, I think they're going to go defensive tackle in the second round, and I think they're going to try and find that that left guard and center hybrid in that third round. Here's what TD had to say about fortifying the line of scrimmage.
We'll continue to build our depth on you know, at both sides, you know, both sides of the front. We're always looking to fortify, so you know, there's opportunities there. I will say, as we've talked before, there are opportunities in the interior and there's opportunities outside, you know, on the defensive side.
My final thought, Jarvis, you know, I wasn't originally as in love with the pick as I thought I was going to be. The more and more I think about it, I've grown to understand why they went where they went. I'm not going to try and judge the entire draft based on one selection. The one thing that I do know is that they had a needed corner. They took a corner, and they took a guy who they feel is going to be a starter on day one.
I think I can say pretty much the same thing. I can sum it up in three words. It makes sense.
Certainly
it just
true.
Makes all the sense in the world, man.
There were a lot of people you did not hear on the radio today that made this whole thing possible. Down to Joe Patrick behind the scenes, cutting up the sound on the back end. Jahi Whitehead and Bo Morgan, who had a great job in getting our pick-by-pick coverage. Dylan Matthews on the other side of the glass in our Midtown Atlanta studios, also helping things out. Our thanks to Christian Vang, our engineer, who was helping us make sure that we were all connected and sounding good. Sean Thompson, Reggie Rouse, our superiors, making sure that we had all the resources we could possibly have, and also the great vignettes during the Dave Archer, West Durham, Mike Conti portion. Jarvis, this was a lot of fun, man. Hope we get to do this again next year. And for the you, the fans, hope that the next couple of days go the way you want them to, because this is an exciting time, and this is the closest thing we get to a sporting event for a little bit here. And I hope that you at least enjoy it to what it's supposed to be, and hope you enjoy everything that you see over the next couple of days from a Falcons perspective. Our draft coverage is over for now, but be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll be here all day from 5 a.m. all the way until the end of the second round. John and you start you from 5 until 10. Andy and Randy, 10 until 2. And, of course, Dukes and Bell have you with the first round pick for the Falcons, A.J. Terrell. He'll be on their program. It's all brought to you by Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL season. For Jarvis Davis, Dylan Matthews, I'm Will Pelagic. You've been listening to coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you might be on the radio.com app via your smart speakers and smartphones.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.